keeping it Canes. The podium is very simple. Over the last week, so from Monday to Monday, if there's a Monday night game last week, it counts towards this week, and so forth. Who have been the three best Canes, and in what order? Who gets the gold medal? Who gets the silver medal? Who gets the bronze medal?
So we're looking at game one last night, and we're looking at game five back on Tuesday of last week.
The clincher of round one and the opener of round two. We'll start with the bronze.
Okay.
I have to admit, when we came into these negotiations, I don't know if they're negotiations, deliberations.
Okay.
I had this player as like, I think I like him on the podium this week. But I almost didn't expect when we thought about it for there to be room. Martin Natchez. He had an assist in the clincher. He had a game or a goal in game one. And his speed popped for me. We all know what Natchez brings as far as being an elite skater in space and speed and everything else. But him playing fast, him buzzing up and down the ice, it popped me more than it normally does in game one. Now, we know what his kind of drawbacks are also, right? He's not going to be the most physical player in the world. But if you give the production and you're buzzing, I'll take it from Martin Natchez. Anything to add about Natchez?
One thing I would like to see him do a little bit more is that, yes, when he has space, we see his speed. But sometimes when things are clogged up in the middle of the ice, he doesn't fight to get between the dots. The dots being the face-off circles. He doesn't fight to get into that space consistently enough for me, which in the playoffs, that's where you make your living. Now, I mean, it was a great play on the rush where he scored yesterday. It was good. And he's been chipping in on the power play as well when his unit's been out there. But I would like to see him get into that space a little bit more often.
Does it say anything about the Canes that I almost didn't expect there to be room for Natchez on the podium, but there was?
Yeah.
Is that a lack of elite production?
No, there's a lot of guys that we deliberated over. There were quite a few that we had talked about, but I think it was just a recognition of, hey, you know what? He has been chipping in on the score sheet, though.
Yep. For darn sure. Silver medal goes to Slavin. Jacob Slavin. An assist in game five and a goal in game one. So assist in the clincher to end the first round. And a goal, the opening goal for the Canes.
Which, by the way, we did not have a puck winner.
Nobody chose.
We did not have a puck winner. We'll play again tomorrow, don't worry.
It's a long shot in more ways than one.
Yeah.
But that answer felt massive.
It's just a minute and 2 seconds after Zibanejad made it 1-0. I was like, oh, okay.
It was right back. All right, square one. I was like, you got the jitters out, right? The long break. It's over. And then obviously, you know.
Penalty.
Yeah. But on top of that, Slavin, I mean, he led the team in minutes on ice in game five, the clincher in the first round. If he brings you any kind of point production, it's going to be so difficult to keep him off of the podium because of everything he does that doesn't bring point production, mainly defense. He's a finalist for
the Lady Bing.
The Lady Bing. There you
Which
go.
Which a trophy that he won actually just a couple of seasons ago.
He's so good. And I remember at the beginning of the year, he went on a little hot streak when it comes to point production and actually got a couple goals. And I was like, if he's doing this, watch the heck out. So in the last two games, he's averaging a point per game. Like, yeah, you're a silver medalist. Like, there you go. Open and shut.
And you're always going to be drawing the top defensive assignments, generally.
As he should.
Yeah.
Because he does a really good job with it. Gold medal. Playoff Jarvie.
Jarvis.
Playoff Simple Jarvie.
Simple as that.
He had a goal and two assists in the round one clincher.
Mm-hmm.
He had a goal in game one of round two. The toughness continuously impresses me. That second hit up against the boards felt unnecessary, if we're being honest. But it was just another opportunity for him to shake it off and keep playing.
So the hit you're referring to was Chris Kreider hit him from behind into the boards face first, was whistled for a penalty. It was a boarding call. So they whistled Chris Kreider for a penalty. There was Jacob Trouba, who's basically a goon. he walks that line of dirty. And he came in and had a dirty hit. I'll call it what it was. He just decides to just, I'm just going to clean out Seth Jarvis up high like it was a retaliation hit. I'm like, your guy hit Jarvis into the boards. Mm-hmm. What are you retaliating for, the boards? But Jacob Trouba like comes in and just has a high hit, which I'm like, you're not going to call that one either. But nonetheless, there was a penalty that was already called, so it's what it is. But it's funny. People seem like, or like teams think they can just push Seth Jarvis around because he's not that big of a dude. It's like, he keeps getting back up and producing. Eventually, at some point, you're going to learn that he ain't staying down. He's just not.
That's a way to win the mental warfare of a fight.
Yeah.
When you're hitting the quote-unquote little guy, and he's popping up, not missing a shift, still playing aggressive, not shying away from contact, you start to do like, did I hit him hard? Like,
yeah.
It felt like I hit him hard. Did I? Like, what's going on here? And then on top of that, he's wildly skilled. I mean, when he's on that left wing and the puck comes his way, he's placing it where he wants to. He's finding the back of the net a ton. And again, I still think that, you know, wherever he's been has been productive. He's hasn't been the most locked in. It's not like he has a line that he's played with all year. But wherever he's been has been productive, mm-hmm. and you have to give him credit for that, fitting in with different skill sets and different kind of archetypes around him on his line.
There are a lot of guys who are producers in the regular season in terms of points.
Mm-hmm.
And there are guys who come playoff time, that seems like it's when it's their time to shine because of the style of play. He's both. Like, here's the thing. There aren't as many of those guys in the NHL as you think. Like, for example, like Steven Stamkos with Tampa Bay produces like crazy in the regular season. Heck, I think you have 40 goals again this season. I know they got bounced in the first round, but the dude's got multiple Stanley Cups. He's produced in the playoffs. There are guys, Stefan Nason may not put up a bunch of goals in the regular season, but there's a reason why he had 3 goals in the first round of the playoffs in 5 games. The playoffs are built for him. Jarvis is both that.
I had to check because I was curious. 40 goals for Stamkos.
Yeah, I said 40 goals.
40 goals, 41 assists.
Yeah. Like Nikita Kucherov, same type guy for Tampa. Can produce in the regular season and also produce in the playoffs.
Do you know what else all those guys are that you're mentioning?
Champions.
I was going to say well paid.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
And Seth Jarvis is going to be that pretty soon. But also, yes, champions. Hopefully Seth Jarvis is both of those very soon.
Exactly.
That would be the happy ending. I'm going to metaphorically talk some UNC basketball fans off the ledge quickly here.
Okay.
UNC missed out on Cliff Omoyori, who was one of the best 5 men, one of the best centers in the transfer portal. He was out of Rutgers, defensive big, very, very good rebounder, quality player, committed to Alabama. I don't know why UNC fans are so terrified of this. I watched a complete like implosion of, oh no, what are we going to do on social media? I watched it in real time. It was one of those deals where I was just refresh, 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 and watching it build upon itself and snowball into something more serious. And then other fans, right? Rivals fans started jumping in and going, what are you going to do now? You didn't get Cliff. You didn't get Cliff. And I wanted to jump in, but I try to avoid getting in the dirt and the mud with the trolls. I wanted to just jump in and go, relax. You're going to be fine, North Carolina. This is a much bigger deal for Alabama than it is for North Carolina, despite all the noise. Right? If Mark Sears and a couple other guys end up staying around at Bama and they add to this particular big man, they become a title contender. But UNC is far from out of contention. Which, by the way, what I'm doing right now is bad for business for us, right? I am tamping down panic. Panic is usually good for interaction. Don't panic. UNC just got a return announcement from the best shooting guard in college basketball in RJ Davis. And that's not just me talking. That's the Jerry West Award that goes to the best shooting guard in college basketball. Every other transfer is hoping to be all conference. You're returning the conference player of the year. That just happened. I know it's not technically a transfer portal move, but RJ Davis is the biggest name to come out of the transfer portal. Oh, and you got a return from Seth Trimble, who I think is a underrated player. And you got a commitment out of the transfer portal from Cade Tyson, who's a 6'7 shooter. Now, Jalen Washington is your starting five man right now. Not the greatest thing in the world. Not the end of the world. And here's the thing. The offseason's not over. I did a light peruse. I don't even know if that's a term. I did a very under-the-radar kind of wander around the transfer portal. 6'10", power forward, Coleman Hawkins out of Illinois. 6'9", power forward, JT Toppin out of New Mexico. 6'9", power forward, Acor, apologize on the pronunciation if it's incorrect, from Sanford. 6'10", power forward, Trayvon Brazil from Arkansas. And I could go on. These are players that are near the top of the transfer portal right now who I would be very surprised if they would not take a call from Hubert Davis. But here's, I'm going to go down even further. Here's the name that I'm not even trying to manifest. I'm just using this name as an example of relax your worry train a little bit, right? Ugana Onyenso.
Okay.
He is the 90th best transfer on according to ESPN right now.
All right.
7-foot sophomore center.
Tall.
From Kentucky.
Okay.
Elite recruiting pedigree from his recruiting days.
Sure.
This is the description of him on ESPN.com right now. An elite shot blocker, Onyenso, led the SEC in block rate and was top 15 in both offensive and defensive rebounding percentage, averaged 2.8 blocks in less than 19 minutes per game. For a team like North Carolina, who has the scoring, right? RJ Davis has the scoring. Cade Tyson, you just brought out, has the scoring, has so many of the other things. You need a rim protector and rebounding. You need toughness down low. He's sitting right there, and he's the 90th best transfer, according to ESPN. If UNC wants a big, they can go get a big. If they want to just shoot for the moon, knowing that if they miss, they can keep coming down the list, I'm fine with that. If you wanted to fire for the guy from Rutgers, who everyone said was one of the best bigs in the country, I'm fine. No, you have an offseason to find your five, and there are other options out there. But don't, and maybe this is a new thing with the portal, where fans talk themselves into like one specific guy being the key piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trust your coaches a little bit to be able to work around different skill sets. If you get a big guy that wants to score 14 a game, you're going to have to coach up everyone differently than if you get a big guy who wants to score 6 a game but bring in 14 rebounds. Like trust Hubert Davis a little bit. Hubert Davis built a number one seed this past year. Like, they were a one seed in the tournament by picking the right guys to build around a core out of the portal. They were not the flashiest names. Harrison Ingram was a former five-star recruit, but he was not the flashiest name in the portal. Cormac Ryan was not the flashiest guy in the portal. They picked the right guys to build around a core that was known. UNC still has a core that is known.
A darn good one.
Exactly. There's a different, like, there are teams out there that they hit the portal knowing, like, we gotta get the dude. Right? And there's not going to be unlimited the dudes in the portal. Right? There's not going to be unlimited all-conference players in the portal. And if you need an all-conference player, you got to go, like, that's high pressure, right? That's, you enter into a recruiting battle, you better win it. But if you're a team that already has the core, the dudes, there are options for different ways to fill in around that. And Jalen Washington is, and Withers and like the youngster whose name I'm there's a Z in his name that's really getting to me. That's gonna annoy
me. Zayden High?
There you go. Thank you, Dennis. That's why we keep you around.
Yep.
There are much worse things than playing those guys, you know, in a rotation and figuring it out. I'm not worried about North Carolina basketball for next year. And I'm not used to seeing North Carolina basketball fans hit the panic button that quickly. Usually they're like quiet, confident. Even when they're panicking on the inside, there's some like, well, we'll be fine. I want that back.